come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to the court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is God's word. In Jesus' name. What do you think of when you picture a judge? I think of someone in a black robe sitting on an elevated platform with a gavel in their hand. Below them sit two tables, one having the accuser or plaintiff, the other having the defender with the accused. The judge in the black robe impartially applies the law to the case at hand, to the situation argued before him with evidence, and applies the law to the person who has been accused of wrongdoing of whatever degree. One of the important things to keep in mind about today's gospel reading from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus is everything but a judge. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel used to come to Moses day after day to settle their cases. In Exodus 18, verse 13, we are told, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. We see that today. I mean, the law courts are constantly full. In the gospel, we are told that people approached Jesus for him to serve as a judge in a family dispute. Let's hear what happened. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Now you think of Jesus, you know, Moses, he would have to sit as a judge and all day long, case after case after case, maybe even about dividing an inheritance. Someone approached Jesus to do the same thing. He said, "Wait a second, I'm not the judge here." What did Jesus have happen? He was approached by the sick from morning until evening, and he healed them. He was approached by those who were hurting in soul, and he taught the kingdom of heaven into their ears from morning until night, sometimes even so much so that he didn't even have time to eat. So there's Moses. He spends his day judging. Jesus spends his day healing and preaching the kingdom of heaven. There's the difference, one of them, between those two. Moses could be pictured in a black robe. Jesus is always teacher and preacher of the kingdom of heaven. Like we hear in John's gospel, the law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Having said that, it is true to say that though Jesus is not an earthly judge, in today's gospel reading, he does possess a word that I made up, judgeship. And he possesses that in the fullest sense. It is also very true to say that on the last day, Jesus will be the judge. But he won't be sitting on an elevated platform. He will be sitting on the throne of God. And he won't have a couple people gathered in front of him. Rather, he will have all of humanity divided into two groups before him. That's the one time in the history of the world where we will all be together. It is in the light of that day, that last day, when he will be the judge, that Jesus came into the world to possess biblical judgeship, where he gives up his prerogative to judge and instead comes to rescue. Remember in the Old Testament, that's what the judges did. The people were unfaithful to God. They went their own way. They followed false gods and served them like Moses had warned them not to do. And they were embattled and embittered by their enemies. And God sent a judge, not to hear their case, but to rescue them. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus is everything but an earthly judge handling case law. And in our gospel reading for today, he does not say everything that can be said about anger or adultery or divorce or oath-taking. In fact, there's other places in Scripture that do say more about all these topics. In fact, it's very interesting. Jesus in the gospel reading says, don't take an oath. But at the end of the gospel, he allows himself to be put under oath by the high priest. The high priest confronts him and says, I adjure you by the living God, are you the Son of the Blessed One? Even though Jesus here says, simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Jesus' unique judgeship is seen in a number of ways. First of all, he is God himself, and so he is the source of the law. It comes from him from start to finish. Secondly, he has become man, and so the one who is above the law by nature has placed himself under it and within it through his own incarnation. Thirdly, Jesus busies himself not by applying the law to certain cases, but by teaching the law. Do you think a judge in the courtroom is going to spend time with a defendant teaching them the finer points of the law necessarily? Although I know the Supreme Court, once you get to that level, spends time writing the position that it holds, whether pro or con. But Jesus spends his whole time not applying the law, but teaching the law, and teaching it more deeply and clearly for us so that we would know that we have not kept that law, that we are sinners, not just in the things we can control, but within our very nature, and within our very heart, and within our very soul, we have offended God. An earthly judge is dependent on his office, where it's his duty. And within his office and duty of applying the law to a person, he exempts himself. He is not part of the equation whatsoever. He hides behind his robe there. But Jesus, it is his very office to carry out this judgeship, where he is everything but a judge, and he carries the law personally, not just kind of officially, but personally, he involves himself under the law, and personally, he brings the law and teaches it to his hearers, including you and me this very day. It is the office of Jesus within his judgeship to carry the law personally and to do it and fulfill it perfectly. An earthly judge spends most of his time applying the law. Jesus spends all of his time teaching it to you and me. An earthly judge is dependent on the evidence that's presented to him or her, and is dependent on the law that they are seeking to apply in this situation. Jesus does not depend on what his eyes see or what his ears hear, for he knows your heart. He knows what is in man, John writes. And he continues by saying, because Jesus knows that, he did not entrust himself to man. Because he knows you, he knows and he can see more deeply and clearly than any creature can, than any judge can, than any human law can. He discerns the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, and he uncovers them in our gospel reading for today, doesn't he? He knows what is in man, what is in with you and me, and an earthly judge will not carry the sentence that he metes out against someone guilty. He will not allow it to touch himself personally whatsoever. But Jesus, who is not an earthly judge in any way, came to fulfill the law. He came to do it for us perfectly before God. And most amazingly of all, he takes up all of our transgressions, all of our guilt, and all the eternal consequences of our sin on himself. And he pays it to the full. There is not even a penny left for you to pay. God has been satisfied. Jesus' blood is the price for you and your soul. And Jesus willingly and fully and freely paid it. There's not a penny left for you or for me to pay. within Jesus' judgeship, which includes rescuing God's people like you and me who are repentant sinners. Jesus does not judge. He does not take up the law objectively like an earthly judge must do. Rather, he handles it in a radical and personal and subjective way. Subjective in that he speaks personally and authoritatively. He doesn't cite someone else or something else. He speaks right to your heart. You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. Whoever divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce, make it official. You shall not swear falsely. But I say to you, everyone who is angry is liable to judgment. Everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Whoever divorces his wife except for actual adultery makes her commit virtual adultery. It's all or nothing here. Whoever marries a woman divorced under such circumstances commits adultery. Do not take an oath at all. Even though, as I mentioned, Jesus allowed himself to be put under oath, and even though it's very interesting, every single Christian enters the married estate by means of an oath. What's going on here? Jesus is authoritatively and subjectively and personally taking up the very law of God and reminding all of us that it belongs to God. We can't soften it, domesticate it, put little additions to it to get around it. Jesus radically and subjectively underscores in the most forceful way possible that God's law and will and word is more than life itself. He also speaks it into our ears in a fresh and poignant way. So not only does he subjectively take up the law, he brings it to us and plants it deeply into our own life. We are the ones who are to hear the word of God and do it. And yet we are the ones who have not lived up to that law, who have not lived under God's will for our life. We've gone our own way. We have not lived in the law of God, delighting in it and following it, but rather regarding it as a burden because it points out our sin. The law accuses. Moses accuses. Jesus teaches that in John chapter 5. Satan, whose name means accuser, is not very far away from us in this situation. Jesus lets his words hang in the air in Matthew 5, and they unveil our hearts, which only he can see. Most of all, each of us has many reasons to accuse ourselves. Forget the law, forget Moses, forget Satan. We have our own conscience to agree with. But Jesus possesses his judgeship. He is not an earthly judge. The speaker of this harsh law fulfills it himself humbly and kindly. The speaker of these words that accuse is the Word made flesh who dwelt among us full of grace and truth. Jesus says in John chapter 5, I have not come to accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. The Father sent the Son to redeem the world. As Jesus says in John chapter 3, God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Biblical judgeship involves rescuing those who can't rescue themselves. Jesus' judgeship means that he, unlike us, is so focused on God and God's will that he actually does it. He is so focused on you and me, who fail daily and in many ways. Jesus is so focused on bringing mercy to you and me that he lets himself be judged in your place. And so it was. He hung there, having been judged, carrying your sins, your lustful look, your false words, your disregard for the Creator's design and plan for man and woman, evident in marriage, He allowed Himself to be judged in our place. In both the gospel that we read and the gospel that we hear with our ears that forgives us our sins, Jesus refuses to judge, but rather to be judged for us. However, the gospel does teach, and we confess it in the creed, that on the last day, the crucified and risen Lord will judge the living and the dead. In the gospel record, Jesus was everything but a judge. In the gospel proclaimed into your ears today, whether through the sermon or through the sacrament, Jesus is everything but a judge. But on the last day, for those who refuse to listen to His word, those who refuse to repent of their sins and drown them, those who think little of their salvation, who think they've got it all under control, who think they have no need for mercy, on that last day, they will find Jesus to be for them only a judge. But for us who crawl to God every day in our baptism, who know that we need mercy and we live by mercy, we live by the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, we will be raised up mightily by God on the last day. We who crawl to Him now, He's going to raise us up by His power. And He will stand us before Him, clothed in Christ's righteousness. There will be no more tears there, no more sinning there. We will have hearts and minds and souls that are pure and clean, not simply by God's grace, but we will experience it ourselves. Then Jesus will be for us on that final and ultimate day exactly what He is in your baptism, exactly what He is in the absolution, exactly what He is in this sacrament right here. Not a judge. You're going to hear words very similar to the invitation you hear in this sacrament on the last day. For all believers, they're going to hear it this way. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, receive the inheritance prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. For the unbelievers on that last day of dread judgment, Jesus will be only judge, but for you, He will be exactly as He gives Himself to you now in the gospel. The rescuer, the Savior, the forgiver, the one who is merciful. Our saving judge rescues us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, graciously taking us every moment of our earthly lives through grace into God's mercy. And on the last day, He will take us in that final verdict into eternal life, where we will rejoice forever before Him as those who have been shown pure, free, undeserved mercy. All in Him. Amen. We stand together to, and confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.